Okay, we're in Tanya, page Kuf Zayin, which is the equivalent of page 213, in the middle of Perek Hey, the fifth Perek of Igeres HaKodesh. The Alter Rebbe has been talking about the fact that it says, B'ki B'kor Hashem Surah Elamim, that the worlds have been created with the name Yud Kei, which means two letters, the Yud and the Hey. And the Yud was used to create the Olam Haba, the spiritual worlds, and the Hey was used to create Olam Hazeh, the physical world. And then he went into an explanation about the concept of speech generally, whereby we see that speech is made up of a carrier tone, so to speak, which is really this Hey. And then overriding the carrier tone, there are formations which form the letters. So there are five, they're described as being five parts of speech. So these are the five ways in which we can form letters. And these are the lips, and the teeth, the tongue, the palate, and the throat. So different letters, such as Beis, Vav, Mem, Pei, those letters are formed by the lips. Just as an example, and other letters are formed from different parts of the mouth. And we're going from five lines on the bottom on page Kuf Zayin, Ukenira Bechush. So having analyzed something of the way in which we express letters and words using these five parts of the mouth, he goes on to say, Ukenira Bechush, as we see practically, She'ena Nefesh Miskavenes V'yodas L'chavin Klal Shinoi Tenuas HaSosayim. The soul doesn't really have any conscious knowledge of the way in which it changes the form of the mouth in order to utter certain letters. So when we speak, we're not really consciously forming that particular mode in the mouth, one of these five parts, in order to form that particular letter. It's just that we decide we want to express ourselves in a certain way, and we've decided somewhere subconsciously that we want to use certain words in order to do that. And in order to express those words, the mouth has to form these particular muscular forms in order to pronounce these letters of those words. All of that process is ne'elam, is hidden from us. It's a subconscious effort to do so.
Does it explain about the way you sometimes speak it in a certain tone as well?
He doesn't mention tones here.
No.
But you know, tones are obviously there's a great intelligence in toning, you know, the tone that is used for one's voice, that one shouldn't speak in a monotone, and you have question and answer and emphasis and lilting, changing up and down in order to maintain interest and so on, and create emphasis. All of that is there, and of course that is a brain function which is very important in speech as well. But it still doesn't come up to the level of complexity which is involved in actually forming the letters and sounds of speech itself.
Right.
Which, if you think about it, is an absolutely miraculous capability that human beings have, which is to form speech and think of all these multiple levels that have to be gone through in order to say something. Because first of all, you have to have the idea of what you want to say.
Mm.
And that itself is, you know, is quite a nebulous thing.
Yeah.
You know, because you have, you know, an idea. And that idea then has to be translated into a language form in order to express that idea, because you might have something quite complex to say.
Yeah.
And yet, in your mind, you've got to organize how to create a flow of language in order to express that thought, which could be, the thought itself could have been thought in a split second. You know, in one moment you've thought this whole thought, and then it takes a while for you to bring out the words which express it. So first of all there's the thought, and then there's the translation of the thought into a language. But that language is itself part of the thought. Then there is the effort to translate that language of thought into a sequence of words, which you're then going to utter with your mouth. But having decided on the sequence of words, which is really subconscious, there's the physical reality of moving the mouth and tongue and lips and so on in such a way as to bring out those words and sounds that you wish to utter. So there's about four different levels of process which have to go on before you can actually say anything. So it's really an unbelievably miraculous godly power, which is very, even very difficult to analyze. So this is what he's talking about over here. And the Yaisa Nira came to Bita Nikudos, Shekusha Nefesh Ritzayna Laitzimi Pia Nikudos Kamas. This is even more seen when we are uttering the vowel sounds, because we know there are a number of vowel sounds in every language. Of course, they're in Hebrew as well. Although in English you've got only five vowel sounds, but in Hebrew there are more. So, for example, there's an oo sound, whereas in English there isn't an oo sound as such. It's a combination of a double O. You know, the O sound is O, and then double O is oo. So it's a separate, it's not a single vowel. But in Hebrew, you've got more basic vowels. So what he's saying is that when a person wishes to sound a certain vowel, such as komatz, now komatz is the O sound, as in hot, right? Now, when, and in Hebrew, the word for komatz is, the Hebrew for that sound is komatz. Now the word komatz means to constrict. Likamites in Hebrew means to constrict something, to gather and constrict. So azayim emela nikamotzim as fasayim. Through the need to say that ah sound, when you say the word ah, your mouth takes the form of an O, which is this like
a round
look of it. You go and the lips take up a round shape, and that is kamitza, that is, you know, gathering together, and you know, the actual name of the sound represents the shape of the lips, which are taken up by mentioning that sound. As I am made in the kamotim as a sign, that the lips automatically take up that shape. Ubapatach niftachim hasasayim, and then when you want to say the ah sound, right? So you just practice by saying ah. Immediately, your mouth is opened in a flat way, very similar to the shape of the ah vowel as printed in the sidurim, and also the name of that sound is patach, which means open, which means opening it like this. Like a door. It's not a slant, it's actually a horizontal. You go ah, and your lips take up a horizontal shape. V'loisha rotzayin ha-nefesh, over the page to page 214. Likamayitz v'loisha liftoi uklal. It's not that the soul has decided, you know what, I'm now going to give a command to my lips to make a round shape. I'm now going to give a command to my lips to make a flat shape. It doesn't happen like that at all. You don't consciously to command the lips to take up that shape. It seems to be the reverse, that in order for, when you decided you're going to say a certain word and that word involves that sound, memela, automatically your lips take up that shape. There's no need to go any at length into such a simple concept, although as we said before, the concept may be simple, but the actual process is a very complex one. It's understood to anyone with intelligence. That the formation of these letters and these vowel sounds is something that is beyond beyond a level of intellect which can be realized. In other words, it's beyond a conscious level of intellect which can be analyzed. We're moving miseichel ha-ne'elam v'kadmus ha-seichel shebenefesh ha-medaberes. It must be seen to be from seichel ne'elam, from a hidden process. That's what we were saying before. It's like not just subconscious, but sub-subconscious. V'kadmus ha-seichel, and it's a primordial intellect which doesn't lend itself to any rational analysis. You can't rationalize how is this whole process being pursued in the brain. And that's why a baby can't speak, even though it does understand. That we know babies understand a long, long time before they're able to speak. It's obvious that the formation of letters, sounds, words, and vowels, and so on, is a process which is much deeper than normal rational intellect, and therefore the child can understand, because that takes a lot less subconscious, sub-subconscious processes than the ability to actually speak. However, when we talk about the letters of language, they are in a way of Chayma and Tzura. Now, Chayma and Tzura are two big concepts which are discussed in Chakira, in Jewish philosophy in ancient times, a long time before Hasidic teachings used these concepts in later years. Of course, these things always originate in the Torah, which originates on Mount Sinai, and these concepts were there already. However, the discussion of Chayma and Tzura is in Maimonides and in earlier writings where we see these matters discussed. So Chayma and Tzura, simply translated as Chayma, means the material, the actual physical material, and Tzura literally means shape. So matter and form is the usual translation in the English texts of these two concepts. Now they're big concepts that they're talked about in, you know, at least a couple of thousand years ago, if not earlier. I have to believe in Greek philosophy we have these concepts discussed as well. But they are described in the Hebrew words Chayma v'Tzura, matter and form. And in also in Hasidic teachings, it's also Pnimius v'Chitzonius. You have within these Pnimius and Chitzonius, Ki hagam shemekarim hu mikadmus haseichel v'rotzen hanefesh zoi hi b'chinas tzuras shinoi hamita shebekof beis oitzius. So all of this process is talking about tzura. He's talking about the form in which the language is expressed, and that process comes from a low level of consciousness, subconscious, and from the will of the soul, because we said before, it's when the soul decides to say a certain idea, to repeat a certain idea, somehow or other that wish to express this idea goes through a process until it comes out in actual letters of speech and language. But the actual form, matter, and the actual matter of the formation of this language, which is the more external aspects, the matter, in other words, this is like the carrier on which the form takes shape. This is just the sound, the primordial sound that comes out of the, literally he says the heart, but of course we know it comes out of the lungs, which sometimes are synonymously identified with the word lave as well, because it comes from that region. From there comes a simple tone, as we said earlier, the hey, the her sound is like a breath, a blowing out of a sound, but it doesn't yet have any letters of speech overridden on it yet. And so ayotzimagon, this comes out of the throat, so it's just a her sound which just comes out, identified with the letter hey. The achakach netla lekopes havoris, and then it is formed and shaped into 22 different ways of pronunciation, which correspond to the 22 letters of the Hebrew Aleph Beis. Ubita kaf beis oisius behemot tzoros hayiduos, and these 22 letters, as we said earlier, are formed through five different ways or different parts of the mouth. Acha me'agoroin, which we said before, the five parts are throat, palate, tongue, teeth, and lips. And the order we said in the reverse last time. So here we have the letters which form in the throat, and these are acha, which are aleph, because aleph is like a glottal stop. So glottal stop is back there in the throat, the just the right back there. And then ches, although the Ashkenazim pronounce a ches quite forward, but the Sfardim pronounce a ches quite backward in the throat. They say ha, so it's way back there. And then hey, of course, is a breath coming from the back of the throat. And ayin, also we see a difference between the Ashkenaz and the Sfar pronunciation, because Ashkenaz usually pronounce an ayin almost identical with an aleph, whereas the Sfaradim also make this very guttural, and they say like, and the word Yaakov, the ayin in that word is right back in the throat. So we see these four letters, acha, originate in the goroin, and then gichak me'acheich, then you have the palate, the top of the mouth, and that is identified with gichak, those four letters of gimel, yud, chof, kuf. So g, if you think of how you say a g sound, y is also right at the top there, ch, which is the kof sound, which is more forward than the ches, and kuf, which is also at the top of the mouth, although, as sometimes we see, that the Sfaradim also pronounce the kuf right back, and there could be an argument for saying that the kuf is also guttural, because they say kuf right back there. So it's a little bit a moot point as to whether it actually is from the palate or the throat, be that as it may. Over here, the Alter Rebbe is saying that kuf is from the palate, and that implies, excuse me, that this is more like the Ashkenazi way of pronouncing it, etc. So he's not going through all of them now. he did mention bumaf before, which is beis, vav, mem, pei, are from the lips. So umifta hevel hu ice hey osak lila, and the formation of all these letters is on the carrier sound, which is the letter hey, which is called Asak Lila de Lesbe Mashashala in the language of the Zohar, which means a light letter which doesn't have a reality to it. In other words, because it's just a carrier sound, it hasn't yet had an imposition on it of any kind of form that translates it into a letter. So the her is just a breath. So you just go hey, and it's just a breath, no imposed format on it. So there's there you have the chaimer without the surah, you have the matter itself without the form. That is the source of the matter and the actual body of the letters, teremais chalkusam, the chof beis, before they have been divided up into one of the 22 letters. Therefore, the rabbis say that this world has been created with a hey. Why with a hey? Because really, the whole world was created with Asara Ma'amoros, with 10 sayings, as it says in Pirkei Avos, Asara Ma'amoros Nivra Ha'olam. With 10 sayings, the world was created. And these are the 10 times in Bereishis. It says, Vayom Elikim, and God said, although it only says it 9 times, and the rabbis say, Bereishis Nami Meimahu, that Bereishis is also a saying. Therefore, we have the 10 sayings with which the world was created. So that this contradicts what we just said before, that Hibukah Hashem Tzur Olamim, that God created the worlds with a Yud and a Hey. The Yud was Olam Haba, the world to come, the spiritual worlds. And the Hey is this world. It contradicts, because we have been told in Pergosis, as we just said, that Ba'asara Ma'amaris Nivon, that the world was created with 10 old sayings. And these sayings are very long, not just a Hey. But this is what the Alter Rebbe is now explaining, that we say the world was created with a hey, since the hey is the carrier sound for all the other letters. Ultimately, when you analyze the letters down and remove from them the imposition of the shape which we have imposed on the carrier sound, you're left with just the carrier sound, and that is the hey. So it doesn't matter how many ma'amoros were used to create the world, ultimately it boils down to the letter hey. The hine agam shehi heitato achrayna shebashem havaya. Now, even though this hey is the lower letter of the four-letter name of Hashem, so we have in the four-letter name of Hashem Yud, and then a hey, and then a vav, and then a hey. So which hey are we talking about that it says that God created this world with a hey? We're talking about the second hey in the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. So why then, he asks, why the Alter Rebbe asks, it doesn't seem to fit. Because if this is the lower hay, page 214, if this is the lower hay in the four-letter name of Hashem, but in the first two letters of the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, you have the Yud Kei, and it says Ki Bekar Hashem Tzur Elamim, that God created the worlds with the Yud and then the hay. Surely that is the first hay. And why are we saying that it's really the second hay of the four-letter name of Hashem? So he says the reason is because, first of all, it starts with a Yud, and then it comes to its first level of revelation in the first hay of Hashem's name. And that's why it says, Ki Bekar Hashem Tzur Elamim, for with the name Yud Kei, Hashem created the world. So it first of all goes into the first hay, which is called the hay Iloh, the higher hay. Sheyeshlai Spashus Ayach Vareichav, where a hay has dimensions. Whereas a Yud, we spoke earlier about the fact that the Yud is regarded as a dimensionless point, that it's like the pintle, the little point, the little dot. And a little dot is deemed to have no dimensions. It's got no length, it's got no breadth, it's certainly got no height, because it's on a page. But even though the Yud, as we do know, does have a shape, and it has various symbolic aspects to it, like the spitz, the point which is at the top, and then there's a block body, and then there's a spitz, a thorn shape on the left hand side at the bottom, and then a bigger one on the right hand side of the bottom. It does have shape, but nevertheless, in taken in terms of its size on the line, it really is the smallest of all the letters, and in that respect it's regarded as a point. We're not yet going into its shape as such as yet. So it's got these two aspects. One is that it's just a point, a dimensionless point, and then the fact that it has its own shape as well, which is a separate discussion. But from the point of view that it is a dimensionless point, so there's no length and no breadth, then you come to the hay in the four-letter name of Hashem. Well, a hay is like a little square. It definitely is. It's got little gaps in the sides, but it doesn't change the fact that it's got length and breadth. So that is already called Hispashtus Ayrech V'Reichav, which means spreading out with length and breadth. La'ayres al-Bechines Bina, which points to, or teaches us about the concept of Bina, which we've discussed many times. So you have the two concepts of Chochmah and Bina. Chochmah is this point, dimensionless point. It's not something that can be analyzed in itself, because Chochmah is Koyach Ma, it's a power we know not what. It doesn't have any way in which we can understand it, but it is there nevertheless. But once we start developing the point and developing the idea, which is what Chochmah is, then you come to Bina, which is understanding. That is giving it length and breadth, meaning dimensions, giving it body, giving it structure, giving it, you know, the theory behind it, and so on. And that is the concept of Bina. Shehu Hispashtus Ayach V'Roicha, which is the Shehi Hispashtus Aseichal Ane'elam Bebchinas Gilui V'Asoga Barchoves Hadas V'Hadas. This is the idea of spreading out and using the intellect to generate and to spread and to reveal the hidden seichel, the hidden idea, which is in Chochmah, and to reveal it, that it should be able to be grasped with a broad understanding. So that is on the way to explaining the concept of the hay with which this world was created. And Mir Tashem will continue next week developing this theme.
Please cut.
All right.